This is Joseph Kokom at A2CAF 2017 on behalf of Becky Hilburn's Art Process blog. If you could introduce yourself, please, Meryl.
I'm Meryl Rainey. I'm a children's illustrator. I'm also known as Little Rainey. So I do a lot of like kids magazine work, a lot of commercial work, do some publishing work, and it's kind of the direction where I'm kind of moving to next with things. I also do paper engineering, so paper toys and whatnot. It's kind of my hobby, since I kind of work a hobby. I need something to kind of have a little fun with that I can have some ownership of by myself. So.
Okay. So you sound like a perfect fit for the show, but yeah. I'm still going to ask, what's bringing you to A2CAF this year?
So I have been to A2CAF probably since the beginning, honestly. We would bring my son, who's here now, who's 7. The first time he was here, he was 2.
Oh,
and
wow.
So originally, we had some friends who are in the publishing industry, Charlie and Ruth McNally Bradshaw. So they were here last year. Ruth has a Ally McDoodle chapter book series.
Yeah.
And so we've been friends with them for probably like a year or so. We kind of ran into them here last year, didn't realize they were going to be here at the show. We just came up for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ruth just kind of popped the idea in my head of, you know, why don't you have a table here next year? So that's kind of got me.
You said you were pretty local, right? Like an hour drive or so?
Yeah, about an hour or so.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so it makes sense. The tables cost nothing, and you're treated really well here. Your stuff's incredibly kids-friendly. You do
it
a
is.
Lot of kids' work. So.
It is. And my work itself is very comic book-y, I guess, in a way. You know, I see things in a panel-by-panel kind of process.
Yeah, it's more like an activity. So it's still sequential work.
Right.
But it's more of a sequential activity than it is
right.
a sequential story.
Right, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so can you tell me a little bit about some of the work you've done? What's the latest magazine that you were
So,
in?
Right now we've got a couple things going out. I don't have their... For Humpty Dumpty and Jack and Jill magazine, who's owned by U.S. Kids Publishing, who is owned by the...
And this is an older edition?
That is the older edition. That is the Thanksgiving edition from this past year. So that work with those magazines is on bi-monthly magazine. So I'm loosely their brand character artist. So anywhere that Humpty Dumpty, anywhere that Jack and Jill shows up in the magazine, that work all runs through me. And then I also do work then for highlights, not every month, but it's more in a routine process. And then same with like Spider and Ladybug magazine. And then there's another magazine that I don't have copies of called Pockets magazine that's based out of, I believe it's Nashville. I think it's Nashville. If it's not Nashville, it's within Tennessee.
Okay. Nashville actually has a fair amount of children's book publishing, it seems like, but I think a lot of it is actually Christian children's book publishing.
It is. It's a Christian-based kids magazine, so I do a lot of work for them, too. So.
All right, and how did you get started with getting your work into kids magazines?
So really, it was kind of just doing research. So, you know, you flip to... And this goes towards picture books or chapter books. You know, you flip towards the copyright page of the book, and you can find out who the editors are, who the art directors are, who the publishers are. And most of the time, it'll give an address of where you can send materials to.
Okay. And so you're talking about a physical mailing address or email?
Yeah, so a physical mailing address.
Yeah.
But then you could do easy things is take that same name, go out to, like, LinkedIn, for instance, find them in LinkedIn, and then connect... You know, you connect physically through a physical mailer, connect virtually through LinkedIn, and then it's just a matter
try to stay
of just
on the radar.
Just the more you can get in people's faces, in lack of a better term, the more they remember you are.
Without being aggressive.
Right. And then as projects come up and they see a good fit for your work to be in it, and then it's, you know, I don't say like once you get on the list, you're in there, but it seems like as
work rolls in faster now that you have.
Right.
Right,
and the more they get familiar with your work, it's easier to kind of be like, oh, I could have Meryl illustrate this new story that just kind of came in, or this activity that just kind of came in, so.
Okay, and were you doing stuff targeted at children before that, or you just felt like you would be a good fit for that?
It's kind of where I've always been.
Yeah.
It's kind of the children's market, it's where I've wanted to be, you know, it's kind of where I've wanted to be for long. time, so it's kind of cool that I can actually
make a living
doing it and be able to kind of survive in a very competitive world.
Yeah.
This was very sweet and sour. Can I go sort of call it going away?
Yeah, go ahead.
Your son actually did a few drawings at the show yesterday, too, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. He did. So Chase, he did pretty well for himself. He made about $4 in commissions yesterday. So pretty proud that, you know, when we left the show yesterday, we went and grabbed some dinner. And on the way back, he was like, you know, I think this artist thing is pretty cool. Maybe now I'll be an artist and a policeman. So it was pretty cool to see him kind of come around. You want to say hi?
Hello.
So this is Chase.
So how you find him on TV, Dada?
Well, we're doing an interview. And so they do like an interview blog.
It's going to be on YouTube.
Yep. So we can go watch you on TV. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So what got you into the paper engineering?
So paper engineering, there's an artist out there by the name of Matthew Hawkins.
Yeah.
And so quite a while back, if you guys remember, Drawn.ca. So Drawn.ca was one of the only blogs at the time geared towards illustration work. And so he got promoted on that, I believe, and he used to do a paper toy a month. And so I'm sure there were other artists at the time, but the way that Matthew did his work really kind of like intrigued my brain to like, wow, how is he doing this? So then it was a matter of, so one, it was a kind of a personal interest after I saw his work. And then two, it was a matter of going out. You know, I didn't realize how many books were already out there of people making paper toys or engineering pop-ups or whatever. So it was just a matter of picking up these books, kind of deconstructing how people were building them, then, you know, just put my own spin on it. And then it's just a matter of, you know, over time, like anything else, the better you get at building them, the more you understand how to add things to them. And then it just keeps going from there.
Okay.
So,
and had you been looking for a way to like turn your art into more 3D forms before then, or you were just intrigued by?
I was intrigued at first. Recently, just through some of my old marketing materials, we've been dabbling to where I started building physical sets.
Okay.
And then taking the physical toy, and then we're actually
like building a diorama.
Right. Sort of? And so then for the illustrations themselves, then I was actually, you know, setting the lighting. And then working with my camera to get dynamic poses and like settings with them, and then just kind of doctoring up a little bit in Photoshop based on, you know, if I need to adjust the color or add a little bit of texture to them. And then on top of that, we started doing little stop motion animations with the same set and the toy.
Awesome.
So it's kind of branching into its own thing.
Yeah, almost reaching into a cartoon at that point.
Right. So actually, this the January February issue of Humpty Dumpty was shot in that same way. So I have this whole like mountainous scene set, which is probably like 2.5 feet wide by like 2.5 feet tall.
Okay.
And then it was a matter of building this Humpty Dumpty snowboarder, similar to the little Yeti down here.
Yeah.
Finding a good composition to set him in the mountain, and then just finding the right composition that fit well for the dimensions of the magazine. So.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Did you pitch the idea to Humpty Dumpty, or did they ask what they could do with your paper toys?
That particular magazine, I kind of pitched the idea to them.
Okay.
I've gotten Brian Sanchez, who's the art director over there. We've worked together for quite a few years now.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he knows if I pitch an idea, he's got the confidence in me that whatever I turn out will be of a professional level. And so we've kind of got a nice dynamic that you don't normally get with art directors. But it's been a cool way to kind of experiment with new ideas as they kind of come up. So.
Yeah. So you were saying that your stuff isn't exactly comics, but it does definitely fit into like the heart of A2CAF. You had a workshop at the show where kids were actually creating... were they creating their own paper toys, or were they using your kits to... construct paper tools.
Okay.
And by the way, that came to 2009.
What? Yeah, go ahead. So they would get a flat 8.5 by 11 sheet that would have a blank die that would show you where to cut and where to fold.
Yeah.
And so then the kids could actually color and create however they saw their toys, their
right.
superheroes and
so
their villains looking at, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I would help them, if they needed help, cut them out, glue them together and assemble them. And then if they really got into it, then we started making little tabletop sets.
Yeah, for the story
yep.
of their characters.
So which is basically an 8.5 by 11, and it's just a simple fold and pop out of the top to kind of create it. And some of the families actually got pretty pretty in depth with their with their stories and characters. So it was pretty cool to see the creations
yeah.
going on the tables.
Awesome. Yeah, I can imagine that was pretty hectic with, you said around 70 students earlier when we were talking about it.
Between adults and kids, it was about 70.
Okay. Were the parents there helping out with directing their kids and helping them tell their stories, or were you mostly trying to gather people in and have them produce
the parents
product?
That were there, I think, were actually getting into building their own.
Okay.
And so they were kind of like playing around with their kids, or to your point, there was one family who was kind of helping them figure out what the story would be, but at the
yeah.
same time they were having just as much fun building these as their kids were.
Yeah, well, it's a good release. I mean, you're doing something with your hands, and
it is.
Like
it
it's
is.
Easy to imagine when
right.
you don't have to do a whole lot of work, because
exactly.
like you said, the die cut's already there.
Exactly.
You just have to use your imagination and provide the colors.
Exactly. It's kind of a nice, it's not like woodworking, but it's
yeah.
an achievable, you know, there's nothing overly difficult that the way
that
it's designed.
Very little in the way of risk.
Exactly. But you come away with, you know.
Okay. And what's been your experience at the convention so far? Are kids really attracted to the paper toys and to the kids magazines?
I think so.
Okay.
It seems like it's been pretty good turnout so far. I like making sure, I think kids' magazines are such a great thing between the stories in them and the activities, but
yeah.
it's something that they can easily, you know, it's like comic books back in the day where you could just fold a comic book and shove it in your pack pocket and take it
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, it wasn't something that was precious necessarily.
Right.
You passed it around to the
right.
kids and the corners got bent up. And
right. And that's how I kind of see these magazines too, like where, like, I probably look at them for more of a precious moment type,
uh-huh.
but it allows them to be able to have something they could take wherever without having to worry about what happens to it, but it gives them the experiences inside, you know, whether it's from helping them learn how to read, you know, some of them do have comic style short stories in them, some of them more traditional short stories. There's always the activities, you know, whether it's like a seek and find or a hidden picture, or like the cut and paste ones that
yeah.
I do, you know, it just gives them something that they can interact with as
yeah.
opposed to just
that,
you know,
that
just
isn't on a screen.
Yeah, right. right. My goal is to make sure that most kids understand what a kids' magazine is and know, like, if they do go to the library, what a great selection of magazines there are out there for them to read. So from, like,
yeah.
Boys Life all the way to Highlights, and everything is all, every kids' magazine publisher always has different age ranges based on the ages. So, you know, the content gets a little bit more simpler, so that age range can enjoy the magazine just
yeah.
as much as the older
kids. On their own without having to
exactly.
rope parents in that are probably overworked.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Okay. And could you give us a little bit of tips if somebody was interested in pursuing paper engineering but they don't necessarily have a background in it?
So
I mean, you said you kind of just picked up existing books and reverse engineered it. Would you recommend other artists do the same thing, or are there courses or books?
I do. I don't know too many. There are a couple books out there, but I can't think of the titles, honestly, off the top of my head. I'd have to go.
How
yeah.
to do
but they, there are. I mean, you can go to Barnes & Noble or any bookstore, go out to Amazon, just punch in, like, how to pop up books.
Yeah.
And there are a few books out there that they'll give you, they'll show you how to do the pop up, but then they also give you sheets in there that then you can mimic the same kind of pop-up. So then it's just a matter of, can I build it the same way they just did?
Yeah.
And then once I built it, can I deconstruct it so I know exactly how the mechanics kind of work? And then same with, like, paper toys. I mean, you can go into, like, Barnes & Noble and go find different kind of paper toy kits or books that you can go in and just see how people are building these things. Or vice versa, just Google paper toys and you'll get flooded with an amount of people who do this type of work.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And I did want to ask one more questions about the magazines.
Yeah.
So what's the process like for submitting? Obviously, it's a lot of them are monthly. Are any of the children's magazines weekly, or they tend to be monthly or quarterly?
Monthly is probably the most you'll get out of the magazines.
So are deadlines super strict then?
They're fairly quick, and each magazine runs differently.
Okay.
And so I know like Highlights is almost like 6 months ahead of themselves.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you'll be working on Halloween stuff in spring.
Yeah.
And then like US Kids magazines, you know, it's a bi-monthly magazine, so you're kind of going like magazine to magazine. So schedules can get kind of hectic. Sometimes it's based on an editorial standpoint, and sometimes it's just based on my own work schedule but the magazine work, it's good, and it allows you, you do such a variance in terms of stories or activities in it, it allows you to experiment with a lot of different ideas or mediums. I like to
look
at.
There might be a deadline, but you don't feel stifled working?
Right. Awesome. It doesn't feel like, it's not like labor, you know what I mean? You're getting paid for it, but you're not stressing.
Okay, I was just curious, because I know different industries have different types of work cycles, that's something that I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah.
And where can we find your work online?
You can go out to littlerainy.com.
Okay.
So, same with Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, just littlerainey, and you'll be able to find me, or just look up Merrill Rainey, you'll find me that way as well.
All right, and finally, would you have any advice for someone who's considering tabling at A2CAF for the first time?
I would say it's a great event. Make sure you have a good amount of content to feed the audience as they come through. I know my own experience, I have all the stuff here, but it would be nice to have had kind of some kind of comic or a book or something to go along with the show itself, because it seems like there's a lot of interest from that standpoint too, that people are kind of, they've looked at a lot of stuff, but at the same time, the question pops in their head is like, hey, do you have a comic or so to go along with it? So make sure you have a good amount of content for being an exhibitor here.
All right, well, thanks, Merrill. Yeah. We're getting towards the end, but I hope you had a great A2CAF.
I did. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Up and Conning Artist. A video version is available on the Natasoup YouTube channel, along with some convention recaps. And if you wouldn't mind, please consider supporting Becky Hilburn by contributing to her Patreon, or checking out her Tiny People comic at 7inchkara.com and wherever books are sold.